Hello, this is Peter Hill Explains, where we have a conversation about things scientific. One of the things that we have to do, obviously, is I'm not going to last forever. We have to generate the next generation, the next crop of scientists. We have to educate them, and in any process, we have to have some good quality control, make sure that we are actually assessing them well by actually getting them test that they can actually do, and like any test, make sure it's valid and fair. So part of it is me going back to the 2015 Quanta to Quark section, and this is the third installment where I answer the fifth of five questions in this section of the exam. It's an option, and so the students, the schools around the state can select, I think, around five different options in the exam and actually shape their teaching to the interests of the students and the teachers. So this is a little bit different because this is one question and it doesn't necessarily require a formula. I'll read the question, give a talk about it, read the question again, and actually answer the question, and then compare it with the actual official answer. Now, the lecture is a general interest lecture. It's not a school lecture. It's aimed for people who are listening to podcasts. So, in the last section, I discussed about how Bohr was nearly dropped out of a bomber, wrapped up in a blanket, and nearly dropped out of a bomber in World War II, Bohr being a famous person. Let's go a famous scientist. Let's go to E. Assess the impact of three advances in knowledge about particles and forces on the understanding of the atomic nucleus. Okay, so again, reverse order synthetic answer. You have to go from the atomic. So I have to know about the particles and forces of the atomic nucleus. So the atomic nucleus was nucleus means little nut or center. Before there was a large in the plum pudding model the Thompson's plum pudding model. He discovered minute electrons and actually believed that the electron were nice and small, but the actual it's tiny little raisins, tiny little fragments, and then the actual large proton or positive section of the atom was a large ball, because that's what he found. He found tiny little fragments of it. And then Rutherford did a discovery of the actual nucleus. And so he discovered that it was small, and discovered its, or utilized its Coulombic repulsion to actually shun away alpha particles being fired at it, and work out that it was very small, and so he actually discovered the entire nucleus. I just think it is about particles and forces. So, advances in the knowledge. Okay, so he, I was just working through, he didn't really advance any particular knowledge about he was able to determine that the Coulombic field was a spherical field by the actual scattering. So one of the things of hard sphere scattering is that there is actually no angular information whatsoever. All radiation is of equal at any particular angle between 32 and 31 degrees. There's the same amount of stuff being scattered at, say, 60 6 and 67 degrees. It's the same amount scattered everywhere, and I can almost do it in my head, the actual scattering matrix for it, and the actual theory for why different angles. Yeah, so different angles. Oh, I'll just quickly go for different angles. At glancing angles, you've actually got a large area of the sphere. If you calculate it through the differential area of the sphere, and so that was a important thing. So he discovered basically the size and shape of the nucleus. Then Chadwick is sort of the next major discovery about a nucleus, is the neutron. So he discovered the neutron from observing a invisible particle which came across and transferred all its momentum to a proton. It's sort of like a billiard thing where you have an invisible ball which you can't see and hit, but you can see because it shoots out balls out the other side. So he was able to deduce the presence of the neutron. And then we don't have to explain here how the advances are, and then with various particle accelerators and we were able to deduce the we were able to deduce the size of the strong nuclear force, initially with the Yukawa knowledge, because we had the scattering profile back from the advancement from the Rutherford stuff, and eventually we were able to model the energy levels inside a nucleus and actually predict from the radiation, nuclear radiation, the exact... So a wavelength of radiation came out when a neutron, say, went from a metastable state and down from a metastable state, like metastable metastable cobalt is an example where it's the transition is forbidden from the excited state down to the ground state. It's only allowed by a quadrupole two photon emission, so that's a metastable state. And so we got heaps of information from the radiation there. So we understand the atomic radiation from the knowledge, modelling the knowledge there. And then we're able to actually know the nucleus is sort of a very banal way of, by all the accelerator physics, we got the standard model which gave us up and down quarks and stuff like that. Just the proton being two ups and a down, and the neutron being two downs and an up. The up having plus two thirds, and the down having minus a third to explain it all. From that, so we got the mass of the nucleus, the mass of very nucleons and stuff like that. And so for the basic modelling of radiation, so we're able to model it quite well. Okay, let's going back. I'm not going to go through the formula again because the formula may not help us too much. It will distract us. We'll read the question again. Assess the impact of three advances in knowledge about particles and forces on the understanding of the atomic nucleus. Okay, so you have to go in this. And now, let's tell us about the... what's the difference between assess and evaluate? So evaluate means give a calibrated, evaluate. Is it good or bad? How much? It's within a context. So evaluate the... so assess an accident would be your risk assessment or your assessment of an accident. An accident might be was a dreadful accident that caused heaps of pain and I'd rather it didn't happen. That's the response to it. Evaluate the accident. Well, it's got a calibrated constant. The accident now proves that I am a horrible driver. I've got no night vision and that I should be far more cautious in evaluation as a consequence. And it gives you values for it. So assess is just more generally a statement of deduction from it, you know, an assessment from it. So I think if you've ever watched purchase the second most expensive wine. That's right. The YouTube, the second cheapest wine, it was a beautiful Canadian thing. Give her the second cheapest wine. You know, if you buy the cheapest wine, she'll think you're bad, but if you buy the most expensive wine, you can't afford that. So always buy her the second cheapest wine in the menu. And then the waiter goes up, "Oh, sir, you've showed a lot of things buying the second cheapest wine." And the woman who's been dying picks up the wine and goes, "That's wine." So her assessment is that's a wine. That was a comic thing. That wasn't an assessment that this tastes nice or not. An evaluation is an assessment is something you could do to say, "I'm not going to drink that well. That's quite nice with this." Where an evaluation was whether it's a gold medal or silver medal in a wine tasting competition. So an assessment is what's the consequence of it. So we can pick three, and this is the advantage of doing a talk first. So this is really money for jam here. So I think they might stickly if you went for all particles about a nucleus. An advantage advances in knowledge. Okay. So answering this. On the understanding of the atomic nucleus. Okay. Assess the impact. So what you've got to actually go back and say, the assessment of impact is such and such. You have to really use parts of the sentence in a way, and this is really a bit of engineering I'm not quite comfortable with. I really like it when you can just peel away from the back of the sentence the question and go back. But you really have to really use the parts of the... an advance in knowledge about a particle is the discovery... of the neutron, and it had an impact that we now understand that the nucleus has different isotopes. So we now know the difference between deuterium and tritium and can model that. An advance in knowledge is the modeling of the strong nuclear force, which was one thing, and the impact of that is that we can now understand the radiation levels coming out of the nucleus. You know, I might get a mark out of that. So I've done a particle and a force. An advance in understanding is the understanding of the quark combination of neutrons and protons, and the fact that a neutron, the quarks. So the advance is the understanding of the quarks, quantum chromodynamics inside a nucleus, and the impact of that. So that's an advance. You have to say it's an advance. So technically, if you want to say an advance, you have to say what it was before and afterwards to get an advance under there. This is actually quite a hard question to actually get all the little components working together. In a way, so previously we didn't know, but then with Feynman and the quantum chromodynamics, we're able to work out the quark composition of it. And we were able to understand the nucleus that a proton would last for a long while, but a neutron, because of our quark combination of quarks, would be unstable and decay by electroweak decay with a neutrino. Okay, that's quite a difficult question to answer in terms of the structured way. You need to practice writing an essay. And here's the thing. Physics marks provide three advances in knowledge about particles and far things. So I had advance in knowledge about a neutrino, advance in knowledge about the strong shape of the strong nuclear force, and advance in knowledge about quantum chromodynamics and the quarks and anti-quarks. And the impacts have been neutrons, the impact is isotopes, modelling of the strong nucleus force. And look, again, this is physics, so I wouldn't expect a student to know any of this. Well, know about the energy levels. Quarks, I know about the stability of free, you know, why we don't have free neutrons about the place. Let's see what they say. Understanding of particles and forces is essential how comprehensive the knowledge of the structure and behaviour of the nucleus as shown in these examples. I don't know whether you really need that sentence there, but the discovery of the neutron allowed scientists to understand the masses of nuclei to better identify trends in both periodic table and nuclear stability. Well, that's the impact. So what does it say? The impact. Assess the impact of three advances on the understanding of the nucleus. Well, that's right. The nuclear stability is a nucleus. The periodic table is not necessarily the understanding of the nucleus. The knowledge of the strong nuclear force helps us to explain how protons are held in the nucleus in spite of the repulsion due to the electrostatic force, and helps to explain why certain isotopes are unstable. Yes, in certain ways, there's the modelling across there. Yep, okay. That's the modelling of two components. It's unstable for sort of various reasons. So the Coulomb thing would explain alpha decay and say neutron emission of neutrons and stuff like that. But the actual say beta transitions are not to do that because it's the weak force. The discovery that protons and neutrons are made from different combinations of two types of quark help identify a unified understanding of subatomic particles as part of the standard model. Well, I don't actually think that's actually the impact. I can't read the impact out of there too much. So I probably didn't do too well, but the standard answer is heartening. This is Peter Hill Explains, where you're watching me think and do, and then attempt to teach physics. Thanks for listening.